The Ferguson, Missouri grand jury decision earlier this fall sparked ongoing demonstrations in Seattle. More demonstrations are expected this weekend. The decision also sparked a discussion nationwide about the relationship between police officers and minority communities. I went down to the Seattle Police Department headquarters to speak with Seattle Police Chief Kathleen O'Toole. I asked O'Toole how she plans to build trust between communities of color and the SPD. O'Toole says she's been trying to build relationships by meeting with a diversity of groups.
Those meetings have been both formal and informal meetings. I've spent lots of time at places like Mount Zion Baptist Church, First AME Church, with a lot of the clergy representatives. Mayor Murray and I participated in the Find It, Fix It walks out in the community, where we got together with people in the neighborhoods and walked around and rolled up our sleeves and tried to figure out what the priorities should be for improvements in those neighborhoods. I spend very little time at my desk. Minutes a day. I spend most of my time out in the field with officers, but probably more time with the community than I do with officers as well. So the day after I was appointed, I actually, with the help of friends in Boston who are involved in the Urban League, we organized a meeting here with representatives of the African American community, and it was wonderful to meet those people during the first hours after my appointment, but also in many cases, we've maintained close working relationships since then. So I think if you speak to people like Nate Miles in the Urban League or any of the clergy in town, Reverend Walden, who serves on our policing commission, our CPC, they'll attest to the fact that not only am I maintaining strong relationships with the community, but also members of our organization are.
We're talking just a couple of weeks after the Ferguson, Missouri grand jury decision, which prompted demonstrations here in Seattle and around the country, obviously. And there were sort of two prongs that came out of those protests. And one were folks that were specifically addressing issues of police African American relations. The second were more free form protests. And some of the protests that splintered off on Capitol Hill in particular, some of those demonstrators alleged that just the presence of police in the sort of riot gear, the masks and the shield, the protectors, that is a provocation in and of itself, some of those people said. So I'm curious, when we talk about the lines between being prepared and provoking, from the police point of view, how much is too much preparation? You know, how do you gauge that fine-tuning of inciting and not inciting, safeguarding the citizenry who aren't involved?
I actually was first introduced to serious public order situations in Northern Ireland. I worked on the peace process there, and you probably recall the horrible TV images of bombs and bullets in Northern Ireland and the significant public order challenges associated with the troubles there. The police there back in the late 1990s decided to implement a new strategy related to public order management, a tiered strategy. So they start out in ordinary police uniforms, a soft approach, and only graduate to more serious equipment and a harder approach when violence erupts. And it certainly worked there. So I have learned over the years that starting with a softer approach is absolutely the way to go. It's the more appropriate way to go. But at the same time, we have to be very concerned about public safety. And I think we have a lot to be proud of over the last few weeks in Seattle. You know, we have some challenges, and we'll do a very comprehensive debrief to see how we can improve going forward. But compared to other cities in this country, we've only had, 2 dozen arrests. And nobody has been seriously hurt, and I think we can be very proud of that. I think that's a tribute to the people in this community who have demonstrated responsibly, and the vast majority of people have. And I think it's a tribute to the police and the restraint that they've demonstrated during some of these events. On the evening of the announcement, the Ferguson announcement, I think that was the most difficult time we had. We had people throwing flares and bricks and rocks and, you know, other projectiles at the police. It became very tense, and several police were assaulted. I was very concerned about the safety of officers that night. I think, you know, while I was very proud of the restraint they showed, I was very concerned about their safety. And I personally made a decision that going forward, we would gauge whether or not they'd wear helmets and other protective equipment, because I can't put our police officers in a position where they're in harm's way either. So it is a very delicate balance. Our preference is not to suit up in riot gear. I don't think any police officer wants to wear riot gear unless it's absolutely necessary, but we also have to make decisions based on their safety on a day-to-day basis. The next day, we had a permitted march with people. We worked closely with members of the African American community. You know, we helped facilitate the march. We worked with them on the route of the march in advance. We even helped to organize buses for people who needed transportation. And since then, I've engaged in several conversations with several of those organizers, and it was a wonderful demonstration of First Amendment rights. Everybody was safe. I think the police helped facilitate, and people really appreciated that. So it really depends on the nature of the event and also our experience dealing with some of the same people from time to time.
You mentioned permitted demonstrations, permitted protests, and that is the issue at hand today. I know that representatives of many downtown businesses both met with you and the mayor and then sent a letter this week asking that the department and the city crack down on unpermitted marches. Sean responded in the newspaper saying that you welcomed anybody to apply for a permit. The response from the other side is that that's a limit on free speech. And so from your point of view, what is the best way for our citizens to both exercise their free speech and not feel, as somebody compared it, to Hong Kong?
I've been a proponent of our Bill of Rights and more specifically our First Amendment since early in my career. I taught constitutional law in police academies for decades, and so I'm a great advocate of the First Amendment, and we are going to tolerate and facilitate the expression of First Amendment rights to the greatest extent possible. Of course, as I said earlier, public safety is our number one priority. We want to be certain that everyone is safe. That includes the demonstrators, it includes the police officers, and it includes bystanders. And sometimes we have to balance the interests of all of those people. So, in fact, this afternoon, I am meeting with our external auditor who comes in and investigates our intelligence operations twice a year to ensure that we're operating in line with our city laws and policies and also our state and federal laws. And during that meeting, we'll discuss the events of recent times to determine if we applied the appropriate legal practices and also the appropriate use of force during the course of our recent events.
How does it change the way that you police if a group that plans some kind of demonstration does apply for a permit?
It's certainly an advantage to us if they apply for a permit, and because we're able to work with demonstrators to help facilitate them. We want people to be able to express their First Amendment rights. We don't want to stand in their way. And it doesn't make any difference what the message is. That's a wonderful thing in this country. I mean, First Amendment's a wonderful thing for all of us. So we want to facilitate that. We just want to keep people safe. We don't want it to be disruptive for bystanders or put people in harm's way. So if we can work with organizers as we did on the Tuesday following the announcement, and that was the largest demonstration we've had so far, and I think it was a very vibrant and it was a great demonstration. This is costing a lot of money to taxpayers. It also is having impact downtown, no question about it. In the best case scenario, we balance everybody's rights and needs. Unfortunately, we'll never keep everyone happy, but to the greatest extent we can work with demonstration organizers, we would like to do that.
I'm talking with Seattle Police Chief O'Toole. I want to talk about use of force and police officers. The Department of Justice has laid out very specific use of force guidelines, and there's numbers of tiers, but essentially what the DOJ policy states, and I have to look at this and read it to you, is use only the force necessary to perform duties with minimum reliance upon use of physical force. It occurred to me as you were talking about police officers being pelted with rocks, bottles, other types of provocative activities, that officers are human. So what kind of training can you put in place that both honors these guidelines and then respects the fact that there are provocative actions that human beings sometimes have to do respond to, and maybe sometimes that response is not always intellectually considered?
Well, first, it's important that we put the right policies and procedures in place. And next, we need to train our officers. As the result of the consent decree, this department is under more scrutiny than any police department in the country. And I think that's a good thing. I think that when we come out of this consent decree on the other end, we'll be a better trained, better equipped, more professional organization. So we're embracing change here, and we're moving forward. But at the same time, you're right, police officers are human beings, and they have to make split-second decisions. I've been out there making split-second decisions throughout my career, so I know how difficult that can be. But usually when, you know, when we have very clear policy guidelines and good training, police officers in the vast majority of situations react and perform appropriately. You know, occasionally they'll make mistakes. If those mistakes are made inadvertently, then we have to back them up. If those mistakes are made because they've applied too much force inappropriately, then we need to hold them accountable.
As we end up 2014, it's a kind of chaotic holiday season, to say the least. There's a lot. These protests that we talk about are going to be ongoing. There's no sign that things are going to stop anytime soon. What is your message to the citizens of Seattle going into 2015 about your commitment, your goals?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to so many people, not only in the Seattle Police Department, but in neighborhoods throughout the city who have extended such a warm welcome to me personally. I've been overwhelmed by it, to be honest with you. You know, second, I want them to know that we are absolutely committed to working with our communities here, people who live and work in our neighborhoods, to make this an even safer, more vibrant city. Seattle's one of the safest major cities in the country. We lose sight of that. This is a wonderful city, a city of innovation, a city of people who really care. And so it's such a privilege for me to be in this position. I genuinely appreciate this opportunity, and I promise that I and the Seattle Police Department will work to make this an even better place.
That's Seattle Police Chief Kathleen O'Toole. I'm Marcy Silman, and this is The Record from KUOW.